Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Today is Monday, July 6th. Before we get to the news, we have a critical severe weather alert that you need to know about right now.
That is right. The National Weather Service has issued alerts for a line of strong to severe thunderstorms moving through the West Michigan region. The primary concerns with the system are 50 to 70 mile per hour wind gusts and frequent lightning.
It might seem relatively mild when you step outside this morning. We are sitting at about 64 degrees with some broken clouds and 73% humidity. But do not let that fool you. This system is packing a serious punch and will be moving through over the next several hours.
Those 70 mile per hour gusts can easily bring down tree branches and power lines. So if you have anything loose in your yard, patio furniture, trash cans, now is the time to secure them. And obviously, if you hear thunder, head indoors immediately. Do not take any chances with this line of storms.
Once the storms clear out later today, we are actually looking at a pretty rapid warm-up. We will hit a high of around 83 degrees by this evening with clear skies, and it will stay clear and warm right through Tuesday, hovering in the mid to upper 70s.
A bit of weather whiplash for sure. We will keep an eye on those power outages as the day progresses. But let us shift gears to our main story today. It is a conflict that has been brewing in our rural townships for a few years now, but it is really reaching a boiling point this summer. We are talking about agritourism.
It is a really complex issue that strikes right at the heart of West Michigan's identity. On one side, you have family farms saying that commercializing their property is the only way to survive. On the other side, township officials are pushing back hard. We are going to dive into what is driving this tension and what it means for the future of farming in Kent County.
This is a story that has been developing for a while, but a recent deep dive by Crane's Grand Rapids business really highlighted just how desperate the situation has become for local farmers. We are not just talking about a small roadside stand selling sweet corn anymore. We are talking about massive operations.
Exactly. The term agritourism has expanded dramatically. Today, it includes multi-million dollar wedding barns, on-site breweries, elaborate fall festivals with corn mazes, petting zoos, and live music venues. For a lot of these multi-generational family farms, commodity prices for things like apples and dairy are so low that traditional farming simply does not pay the bills anymore.
And that is the core of the argument from the farmer's perspective. They are looking at their ledgers and realizing that hosting a 200-person wedding on a Saturday brings in more revenue than an entire season of harvesting a certain crop. They view agritourism as a necessary evolution to keep the family farm afloat and avoid selling off the land to developers. But that evolution is exactly what is causing major headaches for township supervisors across West Michigan. Think about places like Alpine Township or Bound Township. These are rural areas with infrastructure designed for tractors and low-density traffic. Suddenly, you have a farm hosting a weekend festival that draws 3,000 visitors a day. Right, and those visitors are driving down two-lane dirt roads. The townships are saying, wait a minute, who is paying to grade these roads? Who is paying for the extra police and fire response when there's an accident or a medical emergency at one of these massive events? The infrastructure simply was not built for commercial event venues.
And it is not just the infrastructure, it is the neighbors. People move out to the country for peace and quiet. They want to hear the crickets at night. Instead, they are living next to a property that blasts DJ music until midnight every Saturday from May through October, accompanied by a steady stream of traffic and light pollution. Which brings us to the legal gray area that is causing so much friction. In Michigan, we have the Right to Farm Act, which was passed back in 1981. Originally, the Right to Farm Act was designed to protect farmers from nuisance lawsuits. If you moved next to a dairy farm, you could not sue the farmer because it smelled like manure. The law protected standard agricultural practices. But farmers are now trying to use the Right to Farm Act as a shield against local zoning ordinances for their agritourism businesses. They argue that selling cider and donuts to 1,000 people on a Saturday is direct farm marketing, which is protected under the act. Townships, on the other hand, argue that running a commercial event space is not farming, and therefore it should be subject to commercial zoning laws.
And the townships have a very valid point when it comes to safety. If you build a commercial event space in downtown Grand Rapids, you have to comply with strict commercial building codes. You need fire suppression systems, sprinkler systems, clearly marked exits, ADA-compliant bathrooms, and paved parking lots with proper drainage.
Exactly. But out in the country, a farmer might take a 100-year-old wooden barn, string up some fairy lights, bring in a bunch of hay bales, and invite 200 people inside for a wedding reception. Township fire chiefs are looking at that and seeing a massive, catastrophic fire hazard. They want the authority to enforce commercial safety codes on these buildings.
The problem is that retrofitting an old barn to meet modern commercial building codes can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. For a farmer who is already struggling to make ends meet, that kind of capital investment is completely out of reach. If the township forces them to comply with commercial codes, it effectively shuts the agritourism business down.
And that leads to the ultimate paradox here. Townships want to preserve their rural character. They want to keep the open green spaces and the agricultural heritage. But by cracking down on agritourism, they might be forcing farmers into bankruptcy. And what happens when a farmer goes bankrupt? They sell the land to a residential developer. And suddenly that beautiful open field is turned into a subdivision with 300 houses.
It is a catch-22. You want to save the farm, but you will not let the farmer make a living in the modern economy. The Crane's report highlighted several farmers who feel completely villainized by their local governments. They feel like they are providing a community service, giving families a place to connect with agriculture, and they are being treated like rogue corporate developers.
Meanwhile, the Michigan Township Association is lobbying hard in Lansing to maintain local control. They argue that a one-size-fits-all state law cannot possibly address the unique needs of every rural community. A farm in a densely populated part of Kent County has a very different impact than a farm in the middle of the Upper Peninsula. They want the power to zone these businesses locally.
We have seen some compromises attempted. Some townships have created specific agritourism zoning overlays that allow for a certain number of events per year, maybe capping it at 10 weddings a summer, and requiring a special use permit. But even the permit process can be incredibly expensive and time-consuming for a farmer who is just trying to run their business. And there is the tax issue, too. Agricultural land is taxed at a significantly lower rate than commercial property. Townships argue that if you were generating $500,000 a year from a wedding venue and a brewery, you should be paying commercial property taxes on that portion of your land. Farmers obviously fight back against that, saying it is still fundamentally a working farm.
It really comes down to where you draw the line. Is a corn maze farming? Most people would say yes. Is a you-pick apple orchard farming? Yes. Is selling hard cider that you brewed on-site from your own apples farming? That is where it gets tricky. What if you bring in food trucks and a live band to entertain the people drinking your cider? Is that still farming?
The courts have been wrestling with this. Generally, the courts have sided with townships when it comes to things like weddings and concerts, ruling that those are commercial activities, not protected by the Right to Farm Act. But the enforcement is still spotty, and many townships do not have the legal budget to fight a protracted court battle against a well-funded farm operation.
It is going to be fascinating to see how the state legislature handles this. There have been bipartisan efforts to clearly define agritourism in state law, but finding language that satisfies both the Michigan Farm Bureau and the Michigan Township Association is incredibly difficult. Neither side wants to give an inch.
Until Lansing provides clear guidance, we are going to keep seeing these hyper-local battles play out township by township. It is going to be a very tense fall harvest season for a lot of these communities, as the pumpkin patches and cider mills ramp up their operations. We will definitely keep tracking this issue as it develops.
It is definitely a delicate balance, and one that is going to shape the landscape of West Michigan for decades to come. All right, let us hit a few more local stories real quick before we wrap up today.
Sounds good. We have a couple of important updates on infrastructure and community programs to get through.
First up, Michigan lawmakers are back at the drawing board, debating a new road funding formula, and it could have major implications for how potholes get filled here in Kent County. Yeah, the current formula heavily favors state highways, which leaves local municipalities scrambling for pennies to fix neighborhood and county roads. Kent County officials are pushing hard for a more equitable split that sends more tax dollars directly to county road commissions, especially given our rapid population growth.
It is a long overdue conversation. The County Road Commission has been saying for years that they simply do not have the budget to keep up with the wear and tear. We will see if Lansing actually delivers a fairer distribution this time around.
In some great community news, the Grand Rapids Griffins have officially launched a series of free youth hockey clinics aimed at underserved neighborhoods across the city.
This is such a fantastic initiative. Ice hockey is notoriously expensive to get into, between the ice time and the gear. By providing free equipment and coaching, the Griffins are removing a massive financial barrier for these kids.
Absolutely. It is a brilliant way to grow the game locally and give back to the community. The clinics are rolling out this week at various local rinks, and the response from families has already been overwhelmingly positive.
Love seeing that kind of community investment from our local sports teams. And that is going to do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please stay safe out there today with those severe thunderstorms moving through. Secure your outdoor items, keep an eye on the sky, and stay indoors when you hear thunder.
We will be back tomorrow with more local news, politics, and updates from across West Michigan. Have a great Monday, everyone.